Could anything have been more tragic? Could anything have been more tragic than the account of Samson that we heard in our first lesson this morning? The once powerful, mighty ruler, leader of God's people had been reduced to being blinded and chained, being mocked and ridiculed, and ultimately dying in a heap of rubble along with all those around him. Sounds like a tragedy as serious as any. A life that held so much promise ended with such disaster. A man with so much promise of success became such a failure, and then he died. Could there be anything more tragic than that? Well, the short answer to the question, could there be anything more tragic than that, is yes, and a resounding yes. There are many things that are more tragic than what happened to Samson and what Samson did with his life. There are many lives that we may never even know about, may never even be aware of, that end in ways much more tragic than this. The fact is that what seems so tragic in the life of Samson and in so many other lives is really not tragic at all. On the other hand, what is often seen as success and triumph is really and truly tragic. See, we understand these things correctly when we understand correctly the words of Jesus in today's gospel. Jesus rebuked Peter for not keeping in mind the things of God and instead viewing the world, viewing events, viewing the situation from a worldly and a purely human perspective. Jesus then said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Based on those standards, the life and the death of Samson give us a powerful example, both of what is truly tragic and also what is truly triumph. The true triumph, we find, is losing your life for your Lord. So let's take a closer look at what happened to Samson. We just heard a brief account from the end of Samson's life, but the Bible shares with us a great deal about the life of Samson. Samson was one of the judges, one of these rulers of God's people, leaders whom God put in place in a specific circumstance for a specific time. In most cases, when his people were battling against a specific enemy. The Israelites' main enemies at the time of Samson were the Philistines. God selected Samson to begin the work of freeing his people from domination by the Philistines. And God picked out Samson even before Samson was born. God announced to his parents that their child would be someone special, that he was to be treated as someone special. He gave them directions about restrictions that Samson would have, things that he wasn't to eat, things that he wasn't to touch. They were told that he wasn't to cut his hair, simply to let it grow. Samson did grow up as someone special. He had incredible strength that allowed him to do things like rip apart a lion that had attacked him. Or to tear off the gates of the city, the doors of the city, when they were trying to shut him in and carry those heavy doors up to the neighboring hill. But Samson, at times, seemed to trust his own strength, seemed to trust his own self and his cunning, rather than to trust in God. He started ignoring more and more the things that God had told him, the things that God had directed him to do. He didn't keep all the regulations that God had laid down for him. He made poor choices about with whom he would associate, whom he would marry. Finally, after toying with his enemies for some time, he actually revealed to them that his hair was special and that his strength would disappear if it were to be cut off. And those enemies cut off Samson's hair, and they were able to capture him and imprison him. From a worldly perspective, this was Samson's undoing. He was going from an impressive position of power and physical strength, fame and popularity, to nothing. He became a slave. The Philistines put him to work grinding grain like an animal. They plucked out his eyes and kept him in chains. Samson's life had suddenly gone horribly wrong. That's what it looks like from an earthly perspective. But we don't want to look at this account only from an earthly or a worldly perspective. We want to consider it from a spiritual perspective, from God's perspective. You see, Samson, even though he was God's chosen leader for his people at this time, was for so much of his life falling away from God. He didn't really care what God said. He was only interested in enjoying his strength and in seeking the pleasures that his position would afford him. He was gaining a whole world of pleasure and power and popularity and whatever else. But he was losing his soul. If he had continued down that same road, it would have led him to hell. He would have perished in his sins and received for those sins the punishment that they deserved. You see, that fact ought to be a warning for us as well. It's easy for people to focus on worldly matters, to lose sight of spiritual things. It didn't just happen to Samson, it happened to Peter and to the other disciples. We heard about this in the gospel for today. It happened to them when Jesus was right there in front of them trying to teach them spiritual things. It's so easy for our goals to be earthly goals, like avoiding pain and finding fame and popularity or seeking pleasure or anything else that appeals to us. And we run the risk of taking that path that Samson did, the path that ultimately leads away from God to other things, the one that ends up in hell. Samson's downfall from this earthly perspective was really a turning point for his life from a spiritual perspective. Our text from Judges 16 gives us a clue about this when it says, "But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." In his blindness, Samson finally began to see what was missing. In his humbled state, he finally began to understand how proud he had been. His thoughts turned to God. God who had blessed him in the first place with his strength and with his position. And that outward symbol of his devotion to God, that long hair began to grow back. See, this is a time to remind ourselves, Samson's strength was never in his hair, but his hair represented his relationship with God. And this new cross that Samson bore, the ridicule and the shame of being captured and imprisoned by his enemies, this served God's purpose of bringing Samson back to God. And then came this big event around which our text centers. The people of the Philistines, along with their rulers, had a great feast. They celebrated and sacrificed to their false god. And as they celebrated, they had Samson come out so they could ridicule him. They could make fun of him. They could celebrate once again their victory over him. At Samson's own request, he was placed between the pillars that supported the temple. And he prayed. Samson stopped relying on himself. He stopped relying on his own strength, and he instead turned to God. He stopped serving his own purposes in his life, and he instead sought God's purpose for him. He asked that God would give him one last opportunity to do what he had been called to do, to help defeat the Philistines who were subjugating God's chosen people. God answered Samson's prayer. Gave him one more time that incredible strength that he had previously known. And Samson pushed against those pillars of the temple until the whole structure came crashing down on him and all the people. Yeah, his death may seem tragic at a glance. But as we look carefully, we have to notice at least these two things. First, that Samson died accomplishing more of the job that God had given him to do than he had accomplished at any other point throughout his entire life. Secondly, Samson died trusting the Lord. Do you understand what that means? That means that one day you and I will get to meet Samson in heaven. His death was not tragic at all, because it was his entrance into eternal life. He lost this life, but he lost it for his Lord. And in losing his life for his Lord, Samson gained eternal life. That truth puts all of our lives into perspective. It's that perspective, that spiritual mindset that led Jesus to so strongly rebuke Peter in our gospel. Peter didn't keep that perspective. He didn't have that perspective. He thought it would be tragic to have Jesus suffer and die. But the reality is that this was the greatest triumph in the history of the world. Jesus' death paid the price for the sins of Samson and Peter and you and me. We could hardly think of something more tragic from a human perspective than the completely innocent death of someone who had never even once sinned. We could hardly imagine something less fair than our own sins being piled upon him. But that's exactly what happened. Jesus turned this tragedy into triumph. And in so doing, he turned all of our tragedies into triumph. Because he lives, we will live again. Samson will live again. That's the truth that leads us to recommit ourselves day by day to carrying the cross that's set before us. Will people ridicule us because of our faith? Perhaps. Will we have to struggle against our sinful desires? Of course we will. Will we at times have to choose the difficult and the unpleasant things to do instead of the easy and fun things? Because we know that those difficult things are the things that God wants us to do in our lives? Yeah, sometimes that's what it means to bear a cross. We will constantly live our lives with an eternal, spiritual perspective. We'll be willing to set aside everything for the sake of our Savior. Could there be anything more tragic than the death of Samson? Certainly. God tells us about real tragedy. Jesus tells us about real tragedy when he says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? True triumph will be when we lose our life for our Lord. True triumph will be his gift to us of eternal life. Amen. I invite you to please stand. The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.